Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose that God has for us. In this process of walking by faith, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we experience Him, as we take on His word, as we believe Him, trust Him, as we apply that word that we read about to our lives every single day, we are changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, and depth to depth. And this process that we go through, God shapes our lives so that we become more and more like Him. We become the light. We become the salt that someone else needs to savor, to be able to taste. We become that light that shines so brightly that we attract people by our lifestyle of worship and obedience unto the Lord, that as we trust God, they see the demonstration of God's power in our lives, and they see the evidence of His love, His hand, His truth. And it causes people to be curious. It causes them to wonder about this God that we serve, and as they get closer, draw nigh to us because they're curious about the God that we serve. They see and hear a word that is so powerful that it either plants a seed, it waters a seed, or it brings in the harvest. So thanks be unto God that even in our witness, God causes us to triumph, causes us to win, causes us to be the light to someone else and let them see the demonstration of God's power. God always chooses unlikely people. As we look in the Bible, He always chooses people that other folks would never choose. But I'm so grateful and thankful that He chooses unlikely people and He calls us to His purpose and His plan, because when He does, He sets us in order. He sets us in a place. He sets us in an era where we can see His authority, His love in our lives, changing us and making us who we were created to be before the foundations of the earth, but now materialized through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been studying unlikely places of blessings, and this unlikely places of blessing is a place where we find ourselves in, and it looks as if God has not allowed the word He spoke to come to pass in our life. It looks as if what God has spoken is nowhere near us, as far from us. But that is the perfect place to be in, because in this unlikely place, God shows up and He demonstrates His power. He shows us that no one can deliver like He can deliver. No one can set free like He can set free. No one can bring a breakthrough like He brings, because He is the God of a breakthrough. No one can answer like He answers. No one can fight like He fights. No one can bless like He blesses. No one can heal like He heals. No one can cause a miracle like He causes. So this unlikely place causes His power to be demonstrated in a way that nobody gets the glory but Him. No one gets the credit but Him. No one gets the praise but Him. And so we see that in this, we see God's authority ruling in our lives in a way that we've never, ever seen before in these places of unlikely blessings. We've been looking at this for a while, and we're going back to the book of Samuel. Again, looking at unlikely place of blessing, dealing with leadership, how David was chosen by God, not man, to be his king and to rule with his authority his people, and to be a king that basically set the era or the precedence of what the people should be and how they should live and how they should worship and love God and serve Him with all, and how the blessings of the Lord are over that kingdom, that nation. It also is the throne in which Jesus Himself will come. So we understand why God did what He did, but it is it's a blessing to know that God chooses people to do great things for His glory. Now we're going back and we're looking and we're seeing that Nabal, who was a very wealthy man, but he was very foolish in his actions. He was able to get wealth, but he was very foolish in how he conducted his life outside of getting money. He knew how to get the money, but he didn't know how to treat people. He didn't know how to interact with people. He didn't know how to be just and righteous. He did not know how to walk in a place of integrity with his actions and deeds. David is guarding. Nabal was very, very wealthy, and he lived in the desert, and so he's guarding his sheep and his people and his possessions, and he's doing this so that no one will come in and steal, kill or harm his people, steal his product, his sheep, and take his merchandise. And he does this because David understands that as I've sown this kindness, this love, then you're going to sow back unto me out of your harvest. And what he was asking for was not very much, but a portion to take care of himself and his men and the families. And so when time came, Nabal did not want to do that. Now, I'm saying this over again because sometimes we sow into people and we expect them to sow back into us the same measure. We expect them to do unto us as we've done to them. And then we get very upset when they do not. Now, you have to understand, when we do something, we're supposed to do it as unto the Lord. And when we do it as unto the Lord, we're supposed to expect the Lord to bless us. Because if you confidently depend on people all the time to you or render to you what you've rendered to them, especially if you've done it with the right attitude and the right way and you've gone beyond measure, then you're going to be disappointed when the time comes and they're not able to render unto you what you need or give to you what you have need of. So God says, if you do it as unto me, then, and you look to me, the author and the finisher of your faith, then you're always going to have a reward because the reward is going to come from me and not from man. Yes, I do use man to bless you or to help you or to show favor to you, but it's going to be through my means and not your means or what you feel like I've sown to you. Now you should give back to me. So the motives behind our sowing has to be genuine, and the faith behind our sowing has to be genuine, because what we do, whatever we do, it has to be by faith, and it has to be with pure motives. If your motives are wrong, then it's going to show up, because you will remind people of what you've done. But when you've done it unto the Lord, and you've done it with the right heart and the right attitude, then you understand God will repay me. I've sown something by faith, and the God of heaven, who sees and knows all, will repay me, will give back to me more than what I've sown out. He'll give it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He'll make men, cause men to give unto my bosom, because I've sown in that attitude, in that action. Now, David is in a place of also being sorrowful and in grief and mourning because Samuel, the prophet who gave him the word and anointed him, has just perished. He's just died. And so he's in a place of grief. And when you're in a place where hardship is going on in your life, grief or sorrow is going on in your life, you need to surround yourself with people that can strengthen you and help you, because during that time frame, it is easy for you to now react or act out of emotion. And where you would have used more wisdom, more constraint, you would use more tolerance in certain areas of your life, you now do the opposite because you're in a predicament that you don't know how to really feel or respond. Grief and sorrow has a way of causing you to go in a place where you feel almost destitute and desperate and alone. And so David is at this place, and he's doing good. He's trying to continue to do good because as a leader, it doesn't matter where you are. When you are a leader, people will only give you a short, brief period to mourn, to grieve, and they expect you to get yourself back together again because they need your leadership. They need your wisdom. So David is doing what he knows to do, and he's going about what he needs to do because he has men looking at him and looking to him. And so when he gets the word that Nabal is not going to give them anything, even though it's time for him to get the harvest, David takes the men to utterly go and destroy him and everything connected to him. That is overkill. That's overreacting. And he's in a place because of where he's at grieving that will happen. So we have to be very careful that when we're at that place that we don't do that. Now, because Nabal's name means fool, this is basically aligning to what he is and how his actions and his deeds are is to what he is. So we have to be very, very careful what we name our children and name certain things, because when we do, that's the thing that takes shape in. When Naomi began to bitterly hate where she was in the book of Ruth, her predicament, she changed her name to Myra, which means bitter, which means you're going to command bitterness to come in your, not only in your heart, but in your actions, in your deeds, and in your words. So bitterness is going to come in your life because you renamed yourself. because you didn't like the predicament that you were in. So we have to be careful what we name ourselves, call a certain thing and certain timing around that. We have to be very watchful of our words and even the agreement of our words, because sometimes you can be in a bad place or be in a place where you're experiencing disappointment or discouragement, and you can't agree with the circumstance. You've got to agree with the word of God. You got to be careful what you say. Your words have to agree with God even when the circumstances and how you're feeling does not agree. You have to make up in your mind, I'm choosing to say what God says, and I'm choosing to agree with what he says, even if the predicament, the circumstance, the situation is contradicting what he says and it's messing with my emotions right now. I choose to go in the spirit, and I choose to grab what the spirit is saying and what God is saying about my life and my predicament. Well, Abigail, his wife, who is beautiful and wise, she goes in and she that which her husband at the time is not. She represents what he is. She's that helpmeet to cover him and to be what he is not. So she displays, when she finds out what David is about to do, she quickly begins to get things into action. And she gets the food and the servants and everyone working and moving swiftly so that this will not be the disaster that the circumstances are calling for. She changes the predicament and the order. She changes something for good, even though it's bad and a bad predicament right now. And you have to be very careful, because you can take something bad and turn it. It's all according to how you act, how you respond, what you say, and what you do. And she does this. She changes it. She turns it around. She meets David. She meets him with words of kindness, of reassurance, of thanksgiving, thanking him for everything that he's done, and even covering her husband in the process. And as she does this, she soothes the anger. She soothes that place in David that is enraged, and she calms him down, and she tenderly strokes his ego, so to speak, with words and kindness. And that lets us know about the book of Proverbs, when it talks about the tongue and how you can catch things and do things with more sweetness than bitterness. And so we understand that our tongue can either ignite a fire or it can stop one. It can prevent one. She had the right words of wisdom, of love, of tenderness, of care to stop something that could have been a catastrophe for not only her, but that entire region of people, because David was coming in to utterly destroy everything. So we see that her words change the atmosphere, and our words can change atmospheres if we allow the Spirit of God wisdom to pour out and be poured through us. She does this, and in the process of doing this, she changes everything. When she goes back and tells her husband what she has done and how she stopped this, the Bible says that he turns white as a ghost. I believe that he had a stroke, that he had a stroke because he understood how close he came to death, and it was so overwhelming that it caused him to go into a place where he could not function. Sometime later, in the process of that, the reward of her kindness is now Abigail becomes the wife of David. After her time of mourning, he now takes her in and becomes a covering to her, a worthy covering to her. He loves her, he cherishes her, he takes care of her, and because she's sown kindness, because she's sown goodness and compassion, God rewards her with now being taken care of as one of the king's wives. And so we understand that when we sow certain things, God will reward us, and it may not come in the way or the form that we think, but it's going to come in a way that's going to bring him glory, and it's going to be honorable. She was honorable, and she became an honorable woman in the sight of God and in the sight of her husband, her new husband, which will be King David. And she's taken care of. Her and her children are taken care of. And so that we see that God does something wonderful. Don't be afraid to sow good. God will repay. Don't be afraid to do what is right. No one can use God up. If you're doing it the right way, God is going to repay you and give you more than what you've sown. You've got to trust him with that and trust that he knows what he's doing in your life. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me for Favorite Life today. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Know that it's working for your good, and we'll see you here tomorrow for another empowerment. Be blessed.